You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
We'll see how it does. I don't know how it's going to sound with this, with the microphone now, with the new microphone.
Okay. So. I mean, yeah, this is you know, our maiden voyage, and we'll figure it out.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Sorry, had to go there.
Okay, Arate. So we're gonna go. We're gonna jump into Jaws then. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I got all night, man. I don't know about Suzanne, but
No, I have till about 6 o'clock. Then I have to go have dinner.
Okay, it's only a half hour. Okay, well,
we can do that.
Talk about Jaws real quick.
Yeah,
do it.
All right, now you're getting bossy. Ouch! Is it all of a sudden, man? He gets a new mic and he gets bossy. I don't know, man.
The persona.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, let's see.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR Puffin' Stuff. Worshiping when things get rough. HR Puffin' Stuff. Can't do a little cause you can't do enough.
Gentlemen.
This is Bonsai Retro Club. I am Dave. Online, I've got Scott.
Hello.
And Suzanne.
Hi there.
And welcome, foolish mortals, to the Bonsai Retro Club podcast. I am your host, your ghost host. Kindly step all the way in, please, and make room for everyone. There's no turning back now. Our tour begins here in this gallery, where you see paintings of some of our guests as they appear in their corruptible mortal state. Your cadaverous pallor betrays an aura of foreboding, almost as though you sense a disquieting metamorphosis. Is this haunted room actually stretching? Or is it your imagination? And consider this dismaying observation. This chamber has no windows and no doors, which offers you this chilling challenge to find a way out. Of course, there's my way. What we decided to do, dear listener, is we're going along with the horror theme. A lot of podcasters and bloggers seem to get really into the spirit of setting themselves up for Halloween, and we decided, you know, what the hell, we're going to do the same thing. So the idea is every one of our decades that we cover, be it 1970s, 1980s, and 1990s, we picked a movie that we wanted to talk about. And I thought it was very important that when we decided to do this, to pick the movie that when you do a Google search and you do 1970s horror, this is the movie that almost always comes up as the first thing that shows up on Google. And for me, as a young kid, scared the living shit out of me. 1975's Jaws. So going into this, I think both you guys actually watched it just recently, didn't you?
Yep.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You did. So yes. you've got kind of a fresh perspective on it. I'm really relying on a lot of my memory on this one. But what I wanted to really bring as, you know, something that I remember from way back in my youth, first time I saw this, I didn't even want to take a shower anymore. I didn't want to get in the bathtub. You couldn't. We lived in Florida. I didn't want to go to the beach because I'm sure that there was going to be a great white out there ready to kill me. And, you know, this movie just did it. It terrified the crap out of me. And I think even to this day, I still have mental issues where if I'm in an area where I'm in water and my feet don't touch bottom, still kind of a little mental hang up for me, and I blame Jaws. I blame Jaws in 1975. Oh my. So, this is all the shark's fault. So Suzanne, when you heard we were talking about Jaws, what were your thoughts?
Now I remember being like the first big movie that everybody had to see. And it was pretty freaking scary. And even I was maybe like 11, I think, when I went to see this film with my family. I think, like, in watching it now, the thing that hit me is that I think there were moments where my mother literally put her hands over my eyes so I wouldn't have to see parts of this film. Because anything that gets really graphic, it's like I'm seeing it for the first time. Because I must not have seen that part of the film. But it was that terrifying.
Yes.
And I do remember it being like a big deal after that, once you went to the beach, because I lived on Long Island, we had a lot of beach time. It was like a thing to scream shark in the water and scare people. Just you couldn't go to the beach without somebody screaming shark now.
Yeah, that and was, that's not funny, people. Not
no.
funny. Damn you. Not funny. All right, Scott, where are you at? What were your thoughts? When I said, let's talk Jaws, what were you thinking?
I was excited because I haven't seen this in a long time. But I've seen it enough times to know that it's a great thriller and horror movie. And a lot of people equate it to a horror type film. I was shocked when I pulled it up on TV and I rented it for $4, which I was very happy to pay just because I haven't seen it in so long. But it said it was rated PG. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, PG? Really?
Was it really?
It's only PG. Yeah, and it's still,
it's PG.
It shows PG. I'm like, that's amazing because it's like rated as, you know, one of the scariest movies or... just like one of the scariest movies of all time. People, you know, that sound of the is it a cello or a bass playing, just the music is creepy, and then there's a lot of gore and blood and guts, and
yeah, there's even some nakedness in the beginning.
There is a little bit, there's a f- a few booby shots. But really, I just could not believe that it said PG. Like, because that's the first thing that pops up as you start the movie. It says, you know, this is rated PG by the Film Association. Hey, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wait a minute, what? It's 1975. There was no PG-13 yet.
Right.
But I would have guessed for sure that it was R.
Yeah, but Dave, that's why you're traumatized, because there were young kids going to see this film that said PG. And it's freaking horrifying.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, though, but if you saw the movie poster, it's not like there was a big surprise as to what was going to happen.
That's true. And
it's not like you're going to walk in like, it's a PG movie. Oh, look, it's, what the hell? What's going on? Whoa. No.
Yeah, it was a pretty popular book, too. And the cover for the book, if I remember, was similar to this. So.
Oh, okay.
So people knew what the story was.
And honestly, I didn't even realize it was a book.
This is not Baby Shark.
Yeah, exactly. But it was just, it was relentless, that film. Like, you never got to sit still.
So, can I tell a little story about this that I remember from after it came out, it became so popular? Do you have a moment?
Well, I guess for you. You asked so nicely.
So,
I love it when somebody decides to ask nicely to tangent.
May I tangent?
Yes, so, you may.
Growing up in Southern California, we had Universal Studios within a short drive. You know, it was like you would either go to Disneyland, or, you know, if you want to go to a theme park, either go to Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm, or you drive up a little bit further up in the Hollywood area and go to Universal Studios. And Universal Studios had this, like, you know, you'd get on a tram and they'd take you through all the back lots and tell you all these stories, and you'd go and watch all these specific scenes. You'd see the house from Psycho in the distance. And,
yeah, the studio tour. And then,
mm-hmm. Right, this full studio tour.
Yeah.
And at one point, there's a Jaws part where, you know, there's a guy sitting out on a little boat, and you see the fin coming up, and then it slowly takes the boat down underwater, and you have to sit there and witness it. But I just remember that being such a huge part of the attraction itself of going on the tram. Oh, I got to go see the Jaws part, you know.
The way I always remembered it was like the, you know, it was like the little bay or the water, and it would part where there was actually a path that the tram would get to drive through after it parted. And then all of a sudden, there's Jaws.
Well, they kind of combined it with the parting of the Red Sea.
Okay.
From the Ten Commandments. So it was in the same lake area, from what I recall.
Okay.
As far as that part of the ride. So, yes. Anyway, just always remembered that being a big thing to go check out. You know, it was part of the tram ride and fun stuff.
I think it still is. I think it's still an attraction. I think that shark
really?
Comes at the tram now.
Yeah, that's the way I remember it.
Yeah, the shark actually comes at the tram now.
Yeah.
I went a couple years ago, and I was the one, you know, was coming right at me. I had to jump out of the way.
Because you never know. You never know that all of a sudden that mechanical shark is just going to, come to life.
Can't help it. Yep. It's human nature. Big thing with teeth coming at you, you move in the other direction.
normally you would. I would think I think that's the human DNA to kind of wire that way. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, do you have like a favorite character for this movie?
Which one? Suzanne?
Suzanne.
Yeah, I liked Hooper. I think this was like the first real appearance of Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
Who has a lot of personality. And in that film, he was kind of the young, you know, the young rich college boy who's, you know, out, works for the Oceanographic Society. But I'm getting the feeling like this was his real test, you know, under fire with a real shark, as opposed to just kind of studying things. That's what it felt like to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was funny and he was snarky, but he wouldn't take any shit, you know? I remember just recently, you know, I like the line where he says, I'm not putting up with this working class hero shit. 'Cause he's getting berated by Quint. Mm-hmm. He's like, college boy. What do you know? This thing will swallow you whole.
Quint's a badass.
Yeah.
Scott, favorite character?
Favorite character? I don't know. I like Brody. I like Sheriff Brody. He's learning a new thing, and he's got a lot of growth from the beginning to the end. And he's got one of the best lines in the movie.
I know. Yeah. I know the line. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to bring it up, but go ahead.
Smile, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Oh, that's not the one I was thinking of.
Oh, you mean we're going to need a bigger boat?
Yes. Yeah.
You're going to need a bigger boat. Yeah. That's a good one, too.
That is a good one.
But I like the smile, you son of a bitch, at the end when he...
Yeah, bang, yeah.
Yeah, I had a... there was like this... Back when, you know, like interactive DVDs or interactive CDs were kind of the new thing, like in the 90s. And I remember I had one of those that had like iconic scenes from different movies. And there was a scene like, you know, from Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. There was a scene from Forrest Gump. And then there was a scene from Jaws. And the scene that they decided to include as, you know, with all these other iconic movies and scenes was that you need a bigger boat. So it's like definitely the one that I remember. You know, it's setting itself apart from, you know, all the other scenes, because that's the one that I had seen like recently.
Well,
I think the American Film Institute has a list going of biggest movie taglines, you know, from going back to whenever the beginning of movie history. And that's like one of the top lines is you're going to need a bigger boat.
Right. Biggest, most popular movie quotes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It definitely is. You know what? I can't tell you how often I use that term, because we go out on boats all the time. And sometimes the waves are a little bit on the bigger side. And either me or Mike and his wife Tina are partners in the boat club. And Mike's usually the captain, or I'm the captain, and we're driving out. And if it starts getting a little rough, you know, one of us turns to the other, we're going to need a bigger boat. It's just bound to happen. It happens all the time. we use that far more than I'm king of the world. Okay.
That's okay. After a few drinks.
Yeah, that's maybe on the way back, like on the way back from the island is I'm king of the world.
Standing at the front with your arms open. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what about you, Dave? Which one's your favorite?
It's gotta be Brody. I'm with you on that one. You know, cause yeah, he brings the, you know, the iconic cynicism of kind of what's going on, but here's a guy that's realized something bad is happening, but no one's really believing him. And he's trying to, you know, do what he's got to do to, you know, protect everybody. Yeah. So I appreciate that. I appreciate the guy that has, you know, got his mental mojo together to kind of figure something out, but, you know, he needs to, you know, get everybody to play along with him. And, So I get that. And I appreciate a character, you know, that does that. But, Dreyfus, you know, I love his, you know, snarkiness, you know, like Suzanne said, so. It's tough between those two to pick a favorite.
And Quint's good too, but I'm still trying to figure out his accent. It's not. it's
true.
It's
what
almost,
is his accent like?
I couldn't figure. I'm like, what
half
the hell is
pirate,
he doing?
Half I don't know.
He's got
Boston or something.
I do hear a little bit of Boston every once in a while, but then I hear Irish thrown in there too, with some of the sounds, and then. Pirate, yeah.
It's pirate.
So he was an Irish Boston pirate.
That's that's exactly what he was.
But I love his character. I just love. I love how much of a badass he is. He's just hardcore. Do you guys have like one favorite scene?
The one I already described. You need a bigger boat.
Okay. Suzanne, do you have a favorite scene?
Hmm. They're all pretty scary scenes. Yeah, when that shark does, when he's throwing that chum out there and that shark first pokes up out of the water, that's pretty extraordinary. And I think that's the moment where, you know, I mean, these are grown men. These are not like, you know, teenagers or something. Just the way he pulls himself back, like, whoa. Yeah. And he doesn't even say anything. He doesn't scream. He just backs himself into the whatever section, you know, with the section, the interior section of the boat, and says, we're going to need a bigger boat. Or maybe there was just like one moment of levity where they had first found out about the shark, and Brody and his wife were like reading about it in an encyclopedia or something, and looking at these pictures of, you know, boats being destroyed and such, and their son was in the bay or something because they had a boat, and he was trying to call his son and say, Michael, get out of the water, get out of the water, and the mother was like, leave him alone, will you? Then she looks through the book and sees like a boat being absolutely destroyed by a shark, and immediately then starts yelling at her son, you heard what your father said, get out of the water now.
Yeah, that's a classic.
It was a cute moment.
Okay, so I need a few moments of your time because I have several scenes that I want to discuss.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay.
So I wasn't sure if I was going to rewatch the whole thing, so I watched the trailer. And part of the trailer was the second scene when the beach was open, the second kill scene when the beach was open, and everybody, you know, we all love to hate the mayor because he's being a jerk about it. Oh, we gotta make money, you know. But anyway, they have the first killing and they have this big beach scene where everybody's at the beach and there's tons of people and they're all in the water. And suddenly the shark attacks the one lady's kid, and everybody comes running out and they're all bumping into each other and there's just this moment
panic.
It really is mass panic. And then that one scene, I sent you guys a GIF of where the way the camera zooms into Brody.
Yeah, and
the background, it's like the background pushes away, but you're zooming into Brody at the same time, and it's that moment of realization of him just going, oh my God, this is it. And they showed that little section on the preview. I'm going, okay, how do I rent this? Just that one little section of the preview, I'm like, oh, I'm in.
Yeah, you
got to
go back and buy it, right?
I was just remembering that, like, how intense that they built up all this stuff, and then, you know, that little section, I'm like, okay, I'm renting it.
Well, so, we didn't even give any credit to Spielberg. You know, I mean, this is his baby, right? So
it's true. It was amazingly well done. That one moment where I don't even know how, like, if you look at that, I'm not really sure how he did that. Did they somehow slide the set forward? I mean, it's not just zooming in. It's like they are being thrust forward. I don't know exactly how he created that effect, but it wasn't just a plain old zoom in.
It's a trick that they can use with cameras, and I've seen it done in a couple other movies.
How did they do it?
I don't know how it works. That's the one thing. I do know that it's been used in other movies, like I cannot remember the movie, but it's another horror movie. I think it's Poltergeist, she's walking down a hallway and they're trying, they're zooming in and zooming out at the same time because they're making the hallway look longer as she's running.
She's running to batter the door down. I remember that.
Yeah, to try to get to the door, and they're making it get further away from her. But in reality, that it wasn't special effects like a green screen or anything. They were just using the camera to do that special effect. It was really bizarre. I've seen it done in a couple other things too. I can't remember which other ones, but that specific Poltergeist stands out to me as the other one that they did that kind of a same zoom in and zoom out at the same time to give that really dramatic, draw you in, mess with your head feeling.
I feel like it's something that I've seen from Hitchcock. I just can't place it. Like it feels like something that I may have seen Jimmy Stewart in. But I'm just not connecting it right now, but it feels like that vibe.
Like Rear Window or something.
Yeah,
or Vertigo maybe.
Vertigo. Yeah.
Vertigo. I'm thinking Vertigo. Where
he's afraid of heights, and you know, suddenly when he's on the ledge, you know, you lose that a normal perspective.
Right.
So can I have an honorable mention of my favorite scene?
Keep going, dude.
Also, I absolutely love this movie. Like,
well, then that, I was going to wrap it up with the question of, does it hold up? Because you guys just watched it. You know, if you guys remember my theory where there are certain movies that if they should remain in, the top shelf of our brain and don't pull them back out again and rewatch them, because then they lose something because your older perspective, kind of is, dictating what's going on in your brain right now, and so it's not as enjoyable ride as it was back then. So my question was, does this hold up? And that's where I'm getting at is, is it going to be enjoyable again watching it from a 40-something year old perspective?
So
you're saying it
maybe
is.
Maybe just due to nostalgia,
okay,
partially, but I will say that they have been attempting to replicate this movie since it was made. So that's 1975, 2000, 40 plus years. They've been trying to replicate some kind of shark thriller movie, and nothing has even come close to the intensity that this original movie brought.
Fair enough.
It is still fabulous. And even that, I mean, maybe I'm willing to let go and suspend my disbelief more than other people. I really don't know, but I still think that electronic shark, or that mechanical shark, is a pretty damn convincing shark. It still scares the freaking hell out of you.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That looks like a real animal to me. Even like in some of the later movies, like Jurassic Park, like the places where the dinosaur is, like the head of the dinosaur is puppetry, and where it's computer generated graphics, the difference. When you're watching Jaws, I think that just looks like a freaking shark that just gives the hell out of you.
Yeah, completely believable.
There's very, very little CGI. So, there's so much more that I would love to talk about this movie. One of the other things I want to mention real quick is that they actually gave the shark like real intelligence.
Well, like, that was the scariest part.
It was like a thinking shark. It wasn't just a like in the beginning of the movie, they said that Dreyfus said it's just a machine. It eats and it swims and that's it. But that's not what it all is. This one thinks and it starts to outthink them, even to the demise of one of them.
Yeah, and wanted to beat them. It wasn't just like, well, I'm hunting for food. It wanted to outdo them and destroy them.
And like the scene when they're all, they're sitting out at sea and it's been a couple days and they're in the boat, they're drinking and they're singing, show me, and they're comparing scars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the lines that's in there that I had never caught before is when they're comparing scars, Richard Dreyfuss opens up his shirt and he says, and he points to his heart, right? And he says, yeah, you see this? And real softly, you can hear Brody say, yeah, it's a sweater. But it's just his hairy chest. You're wearing a sweater. It was just like, it's like that one little moment of comedy that I like didn't see coming at all. And I don't remember it from the first time I saw it, or years and years ago. But yeah, you're wearing a sweater. No, she broke my heart. As one of the scars. That's good stuff. The scar comparison was fun. Nice little a lightening up of the thing, but that's when the shark really started messing with them too, because then it was like hitting all the sides of the boat.
That broken up by the shark coming to batter the sides of the boat. It was very well done, where they drew you into this conversation and this whole thing about the Indianapolis and all the people who were eaten in the water, and it was horrible. And you getting really into all their personal stories, and then the shark comes back and starts banging the sides of the boat. It was truly expert filmmaking.
I love it.
The whole way through.
It's amazing. And Dave, when you and I first started talking about doing a Halloween series for October,
yeah,
I mentioned we should do the movie Halloween for the 70s.
Right.
But I got to give it to you on this one. This was the better choice. I mean, Halloween, the movie, is a great movie, but this was really great revisiting this one and watching over. I was excited through the whole movie.
Well, it was awesome. Then that gives us a movie to get on track for 2020. So.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jaws, anything else you want to throw out before we wrap things up?
Suzanne, that's up to you because I've spewed so much stuff out there. Kind of like the amount of blood that Quint spewed up when Jaws finally got.
Oh, that was just such horror. I mean, come on. I think as human beings, this is like our greatest fear. We're at the top of the food chain and there's nothing else out there that really is going to, threaten us in that manner. So to show that so graphically that maybe there is something out there that can just freaking swallow you, it's so primal. It was just so terrifying. So I don't know. I think that's what really got to everybody. You know, we're all very secure in our humanity in having no predators that are chasing us around. I mean, maybe except each other. But, there are things out there with bigger teeth than we have.
I love that thought process, by the way, that we're supposed to be the top of the food chain. We're not supposed to be afraid of anything, but then there's this.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. That's really good stuff.
I think that's where Jurassic Park, hit the nail on the head there. So same kind of thing. It's like, well, maybe we shouldn't be quite so secure. So I think it's ingrained in our biology, though, that at one point we were running away from big things with scary teeth. And it hasn't, the fear hasn't quite left us.
Right.
Yeah. It's just for me, it's the fear of open water, courtesy of this movie. So, there's a shark in every body of water. I don't know how you people do it. But I know that there's a shark in my bathtub. I know that there's a shark in my brother-in-law's pool. I know that there's a shark in the Fox Lake where I have my pontoon boat. I just know it's there. He's just waiting for me. So for all you normal people that don't believe me, then I don't know what you're doing. You're on drugs or something because he's there. And he's ready to get me.
Yikes.
which is really bizarre because I joined the Navy and I was out in the open ocean, for long periods of time. And
that must have been torturous.
Well, I had a lot of metal and we had a big ass boat. So, I would hope that, with all the ammunition that was in the Navy that we could have handled, Jaws. You never know, though. That would have been a good take on it was, let's see Jaws take on like an aircraft carrier. See who wins that fight.
You can make that sequel.
That's
where Sharknado comes in.
Sharknado. Exactly.
Oh my.
All right. So that that wraps up our 1970s horror tribute. Being the epic movie Jaws from 1975. So we do appreciate everybody joining us along for this revisit and talk. We're going to remind everybody we have a website. That's BanzaiRetroClub.com, BANZAI. In the blog section, you can check out there's a audio or the visual guide for all our essential movies. So if you have the ability to go check the blog out and you just go through and click on the different movie posters, you'll be able to get to the essential movie episodes as a quick visual way on there. The website also has a way that you can send us an email, but if you want to just do that without going to the website, that's McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. We'd love to get your feedback and your thoughts on maybe another horror movie from the 1970s that you think we should have talked about. Suzanne, you want to give your social media credentials?
Sure. My website is SuzanneMatterboni.com. Maybe I won't spell it this time. You gotta try and figure it out on your own. But in any case, I'm on Twitter. I have a little fun there. It's at Suze Matterboni. And Instagram, Suzanne Matterboni 80s, where I have some archives that I post 80s and 70s type of paraphernalia. And that's me.
All right, and my boy Scotty, he's getting better with Twitter. Where are you at, Scott?
So I'm at 80s Auto Reverse, and I have to throw one more thing in here about Jaws. We did not even talk about the music.
The music. Very not iconic.
We did not mention it at all. And other than
it was going to get edited in, by the way.
About the cello, but oh, good.
Yeah.
Because it needs to be. It's one of the most important parts of the intensity of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at 80s Auto Reverse, and also on Facebook. You can just find me through either Bonsai Retro Club or Scott Compton, or Scott Compton Photography, whatever you want to do. There's many ways.
All right.
So.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, and so this is us telling you to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye bye.
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 This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production. Bonsai, Danielson!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic. It lives to kill. A mindless eating machine. It will attack and devour anything. It is as if God created the devil and gave him jaws. This is Universal's extraordinary motion picture version of Peter Benchley's best-selling novel, Jaws.
I just found out that a girl got killed here last week, and you knew it. You knew there was a shark out there. You knew it was dangerous, but you let people go swimming anyway.
Did you see that?
Yeah. It's all psychological. You yell barracuda. Everybody says, huh? What? You yell shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
Is it true that most people get attacked by sharks in 3 feet of water, about 10 feet from the beach?
Yeah.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine, an eating machine.
We're not only going to have to close the beach, we're going to have to hire somebody to kill the shark.
Bad fish. But I'll catch him and kill him.
Did you hear your father? Out of the water now!
This shark, swallow you whole.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
That's a 20-footer.
25. 3 tons of them.
Hurry up, he's coming straight for us. Don't screw it up now.
Don't wait for me. Now! Shoot!
Yeah!
man's fantasies of evil can compare with the reality of Jaws. Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss, Jaws. See it before you go swimming.